What happens when three buffoons give life advice, explore unrealistic situations, and give random topics more thought than they probably deserve? It's the Spitballers Podcast with Andy, Mike, and Jason.
Chappity chop chop, a swing-a-ling a ding ding.
Always good when you break towards the end of your own scat. Because you're entertained by yourself.
When you're hitting the scat.
It was fine if you just finished it without the,
it was
the
still,
break.
It was still fine with the break. But I'm saying, like, walking the spitwads through,
it's a complicated process.
No one out there. Look, we sit in the ivory tower. You have no idea what the pressure is like to hit a scat for multi-award winning the Spitballers podcast. And this is how the show starts. So you are, they say go. You're like, oh crap, I don't have anything ready for this.
Yeah.
And then you start and you're trying to make sounds or words come out of your mouth. And at the same exact time, think of the next words.
And react to your own words.
And then realize how stupid what you're doing is right now. I mean, it's tough.
It's spectacular.
Yeah, excellent job. Job well done.
Would you rather, what's the difference, and we are drafting the best excuses for not doing your chores. To not do your chores. So, you know, the kids out there,
yeah,
we've got you.
We're going to help you get out. Get out of, also, my kids, click the next, go to the next
episode. Oh, I mean, my list is coming straight from my kids.
Yeah, they're teaching
you. They've already
you.
Taught you. This is the 224th episode of the Spitballers Podcast. Andy, Mike, and Jason with you. Al Borland is here, and the judge in the they're not in the ivory tower over there. They're in Deucer's Alley.
Well, because they've never experienced. Well, I guess Al has, what, two? When's the last time Al did a scat?
Oh, it's been a while.
I think we did it when it was episode 200, wasn't it?
No, there's a formula for it. It was like 86 every 66 episodes or something like that.
You've got to be getting closer.
I think we're overdue.
Yeah, I think we're overdue as well.
Check the formula, run the numbers.
Yep, I'll check it out.
Yeah, I'm sure
we're going to need to see that formula.
It's going to do really good math over there, I'm sure.
We're overdue.
Sounds good to me.
Thank you, Mike. I think we can just decide we're overdue.
Let's go ahead and let's get into it.
Would you rather?
All right, Sarah from Patreon. Would you rather be blind in one eye or deaf in one ear?
Wow, I've never really. So you lose all depth perception, obviously. You need the two eyes to have true depth perception. But I guess, you know, if I close an eye, like, I feel like I can.
Your brain still sort of has it, but I wonder how long would you keep it?
Is there a auditory equivalent to losing your depth perception if you don't have both ears?
Yeah, you can't hear in stereo.
Oh, it's your left perception is what you'd be losing because you don't have two.
Oh man.
Busted.
I hate the fact that I think there's a clear hierarchy of senses. Right? Like, you know, not all your senses are equivalent.
No, sure. No, they're not.
Like, you know, what are the senses, Jason? You know this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Obviously, there's touch, taste, smell, sight. Those are some of them. Yeah. And
that's four of how many?
Six.
Oh, okay. We're counting the sixth.
Yeah, well, my sixth is time travel.
Oh, it's not dead people?
What am I missing here?
The thing that you
hearing.
We're talking about.
Yeah, we were just talking about that.
Yeah, but, I mean, clearly there are ones we would give up well ahead of other ones.
Yeah, taste and smell are not, I mean, they're awesomely important. All of them are important, but they are a tier below sight and sound. Like,
but hearing, I don't want to diminish that side of it. Like, I imagine I want to see out of both eyes, and I'm going to take half the hearing. But it is very detrimental, and I have some, you know, family that has struggles hearing, you know, wears hearing aids. And it's tough because you get put into positions where, like, you would be surprised how much pretending you're listening to somebody you have to do, or lip reading, if you're hard of hearing, because, you know, you're in these social conversations and everybody has this default level that they say, I'm speaking at this level and you hear me. And you can't have this confrontation at the beginning of every conversation. It's just so you know, I can't hear well.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a close friend that has basically no hearing in one ear. Now, he has a hearing aid that he can wear, and it's so small, you can't tell when he's got it. So
in that ear, he wears it?
Yeah, okay. In
he wears
that single
it in
ear.
The other ear, so it's superpowered.
Well, yeah. I wondered if it was completely gone in one ear, you would do that, so you have a superpowered ear.
And so
that
is an interesting question.
Is that something people do?
I don't know. I would do that, though, if I had half my ears.
But it would just blow out the eardrum. There's a maximum volume that you could put into
that
it.
I hadn't thought about.
So, anyways, but
now I have no good
what
ears.
What about a 10% boost? But anyway, go
yeah,
on.
Yeah, you could crank it up a bit without blowing out
Pump
the eardrum.
Pump off the jam.
But when
you have this friend,
when he does not have the hearing aid, literally, I mean, he can't hear you if you're on one side of him. So I think it's actually, I lean towards having one eye. My right eye right now is much, much worse than my left. And for a period of several years, I had like a film over my right eye.
Which one?
My right
Braveheart?
Yeah, no, that's...
Film.
Andy
it's
was
a
with
film.
Okay.
It's just all a right. Stupid podcast where we
come
make,
on, man, roll with the punches. Gotcha.
Well, I just didn't understand. I mean, the jokes have been so bad.
Actually, Mike, no, it was a thin layer of
mucosa.
So, and you know, I kind of got used to
the film.
I got used to Braveheart.
You're watching the same one over and over.
Because I mean, I could tell you every word of that movie, front and back. So I lean that I think if you had one eye, you would adjust to, you know, the loss of true depth perception. And I believe you'd be pretty much living the same life. Whereas I think that you will be impacted more by not being able to hear half of your world.
If you can't see out of one eye, do you think of yourself as a Cyclops?
I would. Ooh. I would definitely call myself a Cyclops, and I would make others call me that.
Because I'm sitting here, and I'm covering my right eye while we do the podcast, because I was thinking my right eye is covered. I might not see Jason, but it's not really a big deal.
No, it's...
I'm looking at this. I'm like kind of, you know...
You lose a little bit of peripheral vision. You lose, you know... it's obviously not better
if
to
a
have
bug,
one, but...
bug flies into your eye...
No, that's a problem.
You don't have a backup.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, the old backup eye. Yeah.
That's what I always think of. My right eye is my backup eye.
I imagine it would. Yeah, I disagree with you completely.
Good.
I think it would devastate you if you're playing sports or you're playing, like you like to play pickleball.
Uh-huh.
Goodbye depth perception. Good luck in pickleball. That's going
to
be a problem.
I used to play pickleball without glasses. I couldn't see anything. You could make it work.
Yeah, I mean, if that's one way to describe your play, that's fine.
I did look because I was curious. According to Healthline.com, anyways, which was the first search result, and that's as far as I will go.
Yes,
on the Google machine,
we dive deep.
People, so essentially, if you are blind and wanna you can legally drive in all 50 states.
Okay,
and in the District of Columbia.
Oh,
thank you.
I was
thank
like,
you.
Mike, what about DC?
Yeah. Yep, nope, we're good. They're okay. You're covered over there.
I want both eyes. I'll figure out the whole blowing out my eardrum with a booster over there. I'm gonna go two eyes.
I'm gonna go monocular vision.
Okay, Cyclops and Mike.
I'll go. Oh man, I guess I'm keeping both my eyes.
Really, I thought the music man would the audio guy who cares so much about the quality of
but here's
sound.
Here's the thing, like you know how like you see the guys who are like super. Just muscular and jacked. They're at the gym. Like, they're doing pull-ups.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, wow, pull-ups are really hard. But then they're doing it with all the weights. That's like me with two ears.
Okay, so you're saying you'll be just
you
fine with one.
You want the challenge.
No, I don't want
the
challenge.
Let me tell you
but
this.
But if the challenge were to step at my to my door, everything would be fine.
Is there scientific evidence of the kind of perception that your senses improve if you lose one of them?
I think there is, yes.
So like
I would go with yes, but I don't know for sure.
I mean, the first Google results all you want to check on that.
I do know for sure that is true. Okay. And I based on
nothing. I'm just saying maybe your right ear would gain like acumen. The ability to hear because you lose one, so you're going to be more sensitive to hearing.
No, it's the other senses. They make up for it. So now you can see better if you lose one ear.
I can smell what's going on to the
exactly.
left of me?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
According to Washington.edu.
Oh, boy.
So people who
it's
are...
It's a .edu. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, research has shown...
It's not a .gov, but...
Do you want a .edu gov?
No, go on.
Research has shown that people who are born blind or become blind early in life often have a more nuanced sense of hearing.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm opening this can up right here, right now. If that's true, and the science proves it thanks to Washington.edu or whatever.
Yes, of course.
Wherever you were at. Does that mean that we as parents should be eye patching and covering the ears of our children to hone their senses, and then you give them, you know, super senses?
Well, the problem is, when
you just want like one really strong eye? If you're going ears and one eye.
Okay, so a full blindfold for a week to make their hearing better, cover their ears for a week to make their sense of smell better.
The way that I understand that it works is your brain is actually like essentially giving more real estate to what's lost. So if you then gain back your sight,
you lose it. I didn't want the real answer. I wanted the superhero type of like
then
riff,
don't come
riffing.
To the Spitballers podcast where we know everything and we give much learning.
All right, Matthew from Twitter. Would you rather be stuck in a mall for 24 hours with 15 swarms of 100 wasps?
I know.
I like how
answer.
We have to say how big the swarms are because we wouldn't understand it. Stuck in a mall for 24 hours with 15 swarms of 100 wasps, two Bengal tigers, or 100,000 scattered mosquitoes. I mean, I'm not picking tigers.
No, that's out.
The tigers is the easiest one
to avoid.
No. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You can't get away from them tigers.
We need some ground rules then. Mm-hmm. Like, is every store closed? Are the fire exits where the back halls?
Oh, you're
going to
barricade yourself?
Or just go through a door? Because these are not velociraptors. They cannot come in.
Oh, man. I didn't think about the door.
No. The stores are closed, but the concourse is open top and bottom.
Okay.
Okay, so this is actually funny. I missed the part that we were in a mall for 24 hours.
It's at the beginning of the question.
I know, but I...
Where did you think we were stuck?
We? I thought we were stuck in a room. I thought we were in a room
then the tigers are out.
Yeah, if you're in a room, then the tigers are out. They're going to get
hungry. You're stuck in a tiger cage.
Honestly, it's got to be the tigers because of that whole door thing. I mean, the fact that you can say, excuse me.
You can't do that now. Didn't you hear me rephrase it? The door, all the stores are closed. You're in the concourse.
Oh, okay.
So you can try to like, obviously the escalator. I don't know if that's an issue for a big cat. Probably not.
Nope.
Maybe you could get in the elevator. Yeah. But I want to be there with the 100,000 scattered mosquitoes. Because I'm just going to put some extra clothes on.
No, they will find you.
Through the clothes?
Oh, they will find your face.
Really?
Mosquitoes? Just unstoppable.
Yeah.
I think that they can go through walls.
Open doors as a group?
They don't go under the door crack.
They teleport. They will find your carbon dioxide, and they will come and they will bite you.
I don't know I don't know how mosquitoes can go underneath covers and comforters. But I know they can because I wake up with ankle bites that for sure were not there.
Bed bugs.
No, they're mosquito bites. So listen, bed bugs.
Those were spider bites.
Listen.
How dare you?
I hate to tell you that.
Spider bites aren't itchy.
I've been informed I can't get any other clothes from the stores. The stores are closed. So I'm starting over.
Yeah, you don't want malaria.
The wasps are... I mean, that's too many wasps.
Well, not only that, but all of these can kill you in certain different ways.
The mosquitoes can kill you?
Playing that long game.
You're going malaria on
me? Yeah,
I'm going malaria. You're going malaria on me.
Mosquitoes kill like more
people. How many times do you have to go malaria on me?
Like the only like one of the most deadly viruses in the entire world.
They can treat me for it after the mall trip.
Can they?
Well, yeah. I guess it's only 24 hours.
Yeah, malaria is treatable.
All I know is it's not just malaria, but mosquito-borne diseases kill 725,000 people a year.
That's more than tigers.
And those people, right, tigers is probably like five. Those people did not have to deal with 100,000 mosquitoes.
Yeah, they did.
What?
Not trapped inside of a mall.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like in the world, just in the earth. But I mean, just maybe millions.
This mall's, it's a two-story mall, right?
Yeah. I can't get away from the Bengal tigers if the stores aren't open. I can't.
What's the worst way to go?
The tiger.
Let's say you go all three ways.
The wasps.
I think it might be the wasps.
No, I'm going tiger.
Because a tiger is a pro killer. It's going to go for your neck, and it's going to be quicker than you think. It's going to be horrible.
It could not be.
Well, sure, it could use me as a chew toy. And that would suck.
That's what I'm saying.
But what
the
possible way?
The mosquitoes is not that bad. That's death by a thousand cuts.
The wasps?
The wasps would be painful.
The wasps would be a nightmare.
I mean, they might go in your mouth.
You could have said one swarm of 100 wasps, not 15 of them, and that would have been too many wasps. Yeah. I mean, you could have said one wasp, and that might have been
too
many.
You could have also just said 1,500 wasps is another way to say 15 swarms of 100 wasps.
I would have been.
Yeah, but
we. Well, we teach.
But
we're
I
mathematics.
Like, but they're individualized. Like, there's just 15 groups throughout.
Oh, they're separate? They're not one swarm.
No, because there's 15 swarms. We clarified.
They're competing for you.
They're like rival gangs.
Yeah.
They've got their territory.
They're going to be coming at you snapping. Here comes group number four. I mean, in paging the scientists here.
Oh, no.
What's the deal with wasps?
Well, I don't like that they don't.
What do they do?
I don't like that they don't sacrifice themselves on a sting.
No.
That's something that I think, you know, God got right with the bee.
Yeah.
The honeybee wants to sting you, and he pays the ultimate price.
Yeah.
Because there's a cost, right? It's like, I'm going to protect the hive at my own expense.
I kamikaze. Give my butt.
Yeah. Kamikaze bee. But then the wasps come out.
Like, and check this out, bees.
They're just like, watch this.
Watch this. Bzz, ah, still alive. still alive.
So I guess the wasps are like, they're out there taking care of other pests.
So Owl is saying, yeah, wasps provide us with free, eco-friendly, natural pest control services. What pests are? The wasps are the pests.
This is the old lady
who swallowed the fly situation.
They take care of so many flies for us.
Welcome to Cockroach Pest Services, run by the cockroaches. What do they know?
That wasn't my answer. You asked the scientists. I was just passing it along.
Was that the top Google result?
Yeah, you're darn right it was.
The wasps are out for me. I'm between the two Bengal tigers and the mosquitoes, because I do think the mosquitoes, if we're only in this mall for 24 hours, I'm going to get diseases.
I'm getting into my own shirt. I'm going to do that thing as a kid where you pull the shirt over your knees and you suck your arms in and then you put your head in.
100,000.
But 100,000 in the mall. Not 100,000 are going to all find and eat you.
How fast are mosquitoes?
They will find you.
They have to be. Are they faster than a Bengal tiger?
Now, here's one other thing.
No.
You can start trying. You could
kill
them? You know how many mosquitoes I can kill here?
Oh,
the average flight speed of a mosquito is 1 to 1.5 miles an hour.
I mean, yeah, I will kill.
That's slow. I can run faster than that.
I will kill thousands of mosquitoes, and I'm going to give back. I'm taking the mosquitoes. Final answer.
Could you run? Like,
you know how many tigers I can kill? None.
If you run sprints to one end of the mall, go down the escalator, run sprints the other side, the mosquitoes will never catch you.
For 24 hours?
That's what I was going to ask. Can you do it for that long?
Can you do sprints for 24 hours?
How fast
does
a human walk?
Let me drop that to 1 hour.
No.
If a Bengal tiger was chasing me, yes. Oh, 1 hour at least.
There's a point where you run out of gas and you turn around and you put your arms out.
Average walking speeds are 2.5 to 4 miles an hour.
I'm just walking back and forth.
But you're walking into other mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Oh, because they're separate rival gangs.
Yeah. There's 100,000 of them. They will find you.
Stupid question.
But I'm still taking out so many. I mean, that just
enrages them more.
Oh, give me a break. Enraged mosquitoes.
The wasps are definitely out and the tigers are out. So I'm going mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Chloe from the website, would you rather take a hot air balloon ride over the Serengeti?
Remind me what that Serengeti is.
What do you think it is?
I think it's a desert. But that also sounds like the Sahara Desert. What is the Serengeti?
The Serengeti is like the plains of Africa.
Yes.
Okay, so like a desert.
I mean, no. Not really.
No, it's not?
No.
No, that would be the desert of Africa.
Yeah, I mean, there's like the watering holes.
I mean, maybe it's a desert. I don't know. It's the plains, right?
The Serengeti, like where the Lion King is set.
Yeah, that's in the Serengeti.
Well, everything the light
might be
touches,
a desert.
Jason.
Let me tell you what the first Google result is. The Serengeti is a semi-desert grassland that is predominantly...
It's a semi-desert grassland. That's why it's the Serengeti.
Maybe it's semi-deserted. Like, there's not a lot of people there.
Is that a savanna?
Let me finish the question.
All right.
Hot air balloon ride over the Serengeti or a helicopter tour of the Grand Canyon?
Oh, that's
so
easy.
This is a positive question. This is like, yeah. Which do you prefer? And we've already gotten word from the judge, who is on microphone, I think.
Yeah.
You've got a fear of hot air balloons?
I can't believe that's a thing still, to be honest.
Really? Why is that?
I don't know. Isn't that terrifying to go up in that thing?
I can't believe that's a thing.
I see like 12 of them out in the morning out here.
No,
in Arizona.
People do
awesome.
It all the time. And
yeah.
You just think that that's, is it the lack of like an engine?
Yeah, there's that's
because you're just floating.
The height.
It's powered by science. I mean, like it's but hold on.
You're probably safer in a hot air balloon. I mean, you are safer
you
in a
are.
Hot air balloon than a helicopter.
Nah,
for sure.
I'm not. I don't buy it.
I control my own destiny in the helicopter.
Keep me away from those death machines, those hot balloons.
I mean, if I'm in a helicopter, which I've never done, I'm putting my odds of vomiting at 85%.
I think you're going to say like 800%.
No.
Eight times.
No, I think there's a small percentage chance that maybe I don't.
This to me is not about the form of travel.
I'm fine.
This is not form of travel. I don't care which way the travel is.
You're going beauty.
If you told me helicopter over the Serengeti versus hot air balloon over the Grand Canyon, I'm taking the Serengeti in both. I think it would be maybe we're a little bit jaded. We're out here in Arizona. We got the Grand Canyon. And it's beautiful. But there are not lions. To my knowledge, in the Grand Canyon, or giraffes,
yes.
Or rhinoceroses, or anything.
Rhinoceri.
What
first
is
Google
plan?
Result.
Let me tell you.
But
is it just rhinoceros?
I'm going to tell you.
The idea of
like moose
floating over the Serengeti. Now, in Brooks's hot air balloon, it obviously goes down and you're eaten by lions. But in mine, it's a pretty nice trip.
Yeah. Just wait till the rhinos are shooting at you.
Plus, they do play music over the Serengeti, right?
So,
like the Lion King soundtrack?
I mean, it would be awesome.
Okay, so this is incredible on the plural of rhinoceros.
Okay.
The plural...
rhinoceros.
It is either rhinoceros or rhinoceroses.
Yeah.
Like
it's like
works.
Moose or mooses.
No.
Both are
no,
plural.
Mooses is not allowed.
Yeah, mooses is out. But this says rhinoceros or rhinoceroses. And if you've never said rhinoceroses before, try it out because it feels super weird. Right now, just say it with me, rhinoceroses.
That's more like fish or fishes.
No.
Both of those are fine.
But fishes works because when you're talking about multiple species of fish.
Or if you're swimming with them.
Yes. Yes. Okay. If like at the end of your days. But I've
is anybody taking the Grand Canyon here?
I'm not taking the Grand Canyon. I think it's extremely overrated.
Why have
what?
Yeah.
It's
no,
amazing.
No, it's not overrated. It's
yes,
not
it
overrated.
Is. Yeah, no, it
you're,
is
you're a team big hole.
I think it is beautiful.
When's the last time you've been?
2 years ago.
Well, that's pretty recent.
Yeah. And
were you looking at the Grand Canyon, or did you go drive somewhere else?
No, it was like a big canyon.
It's a mountain.
No, we went up to the Grand Canyon, and you
overrated.
Go out, and it looks almost like a Photoshop thing. It's really crazy. It's like, oh, this is pretty cool. Yeah, that's okay.
This is
then
Mr.
I'm done.
No, hold on. Hold
then
on.
I'm done.
This is no Mr. No Museums. I forgot. He can't appreciate standing
yeah.
somewhere for more than a couple minutes.
I totally appreciate.
Where's my 3D glasses?
I totally
yes!
appreciate awesome things like like
when's the show start?
The Grand Canyon is overrated because people come from all over the planet. They travel
because it is a wonder of the world.
Yes, it's an extremely big hole. But like the beauty of Hawaii with lushness and oceans coming in and volcano, that is so much cooler. It's
cooler, but it's not more unique because you can get that all over the world.
Yeah, there's a lot of beaches.
There's one big hole and we got it.
I feel like Sedona yeah, is
Arizona's new slogan.
We got the big hole.
We do. Have
we
the,
did it.
Sedona,
you can't do it.
Sedona's more beautiful than the Grand Canyon.
Not true.
That's
but it's beautiful.
Opinion.
Sedona's pretty amazing.
But I can't. It's hard because you don't appreciate any museums.
I appreciate science museums.
You've said the same thing about museums because you go into them, you look at something, and then you go, what do I do now?
Yeah. Most of them are super overrated. I agree with you.
We're not going to win this one, Mike.
It's fine.
But
we're all taking the Serengeti, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
If they
fly in some of the African animals to live in the Grand Canyon, because it's semi-desert.
Right.
And full desert.
The other thing is hot air balloons are awesome. I've
never been up in one.
I've been in them a couple times. They are really, really cool. They are a nice way to travel. They are.
Do you ever feel like you could fall out?
No, no, you can't.
Because it's
so deep,
you
could jump out, but you can't just fall out. It's like, that would be like.
You'd have to climb up.
Falling
this.
Out of your car. Like, I don't fall out my window. I could climb out my window, but you're not going to. The only downside to hot air balloons is, this kind of speaks to Brooks, the landing is a lot of guesswork. It's like they think, so there's usually like a Jeep on the ground that's going to follow you and meet you wherever you land. Because, you know, this isn't like X marks the spot and we'll put it down right there. You're at the mercy of wind and things like that. So
I've always wondered.
And then when you actually go in for the landing, you're not usually coming straight down. At least the two times I've been in them, you know, you're
two times.
Is it tuck and roll?
You're traveling. Well, and then the people meet you there, and they're gonna try to grab that basket before it turns over.
Before it turns over?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, like the basket's going to fall.
Yeah, but on the ground.
It's a bumpy landing.
It's a bumpy landing.
Yeah. But which I've heard is the same with like if you go skydiving. Isn't that a little rough landing?
Yeah, it's a bit rough.
Now, you've been, but you haven't been solo.
Correct.
Okay. You ever been on a solo?
Ooh.
Hot air balloon ride?
I'm the pilot? No. Yeah.
And did you go around the world in 80 days?
I have not yet done that.
That would be foolproof though, right? Of all the things to accidentally end up in control of, the hot air balloon is just stop putting hot air in it and you'll go down, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. If you want to land a plane or land a hot air balloon,
choose
the hot air balloon.
Okay.
I've watched the guy do it. He just stops putting air in it.
So what is it? How long's the training seminar to become a hot air balloon pilot?
What if with his flatulence it never lands?
Oh, no, I could keep this. Is my flatulence that hot? I do run hot, so.
I just wonder if every time you're trying to land, you just
I would just have
pop
to wait.
Back up a
I'd
little
have
bit.
To wait for summer, and once it's hot outside, I could land.
Hit another thermal.
And I'm just being spammed with pictures of people sideways on their landings.
Yeah, it's a real thing. And
ow.
We almost went sideways.
Is there, should we do one more or move on?
Isn't there like an anchor or something they can use to prevent this
problem?
An
anchor? Like you throw over a big ship anchor about 20 feet above the ground?
Oh, that's actually a good idea. And you'd put it out the direction that you're, you know, traveling away from. So then it just...
And then it drags the ground a little
bit?
Wait,
no,
I'm
realizing
you go down
that
hard.
Then you're going to eat it because when the anchor extends to its locked position...
You just swoop down.
You're toast.
What do you think, Al?
Let's move on.
Okay. Well, let's get more sophisticated.
It's time for learning.
And to be clear, no Google results for this one.
We don't need it.
Don't need it.
We are Google.
What is We are Google.
It's my middle name.
What is the difference between boogers, snot, and mucus?
Yeah, this is easy.
Yeah, it is pretty obvious.
There's one that seems to be troubling to me. The boogers... Mm. What's the is there
boogers
any,
are more solid
is there any moisture content allowed in a booger?
Yes,
there you can't have anything in your nose without any moisture.
But is the booger itself have moisture, or is there just mucus around the booger?
So
if it were to be, you know, emitted from thy nostril,
if you want to know what a booger is, I think the easiest way to think about it is this like a raisin? And if it is, that's a booger.
I was gonna say, can you flick it?
Can you flick
a raisin?
You can't flick no snot.
No. Well, no, you can fling snot.
You could also hawk a loogie.
Sure.
Which, that is also a fact. It's not in this question at all. But you could think.
It involves mucus.
You could also jump over a box.
So that's 202 stuff. We're at 101 right now.
Sorry. That's a different class.
Yeah.
So boogers, they have a solid formation.
Mm-hmm. You can flick them, and they look like a raisin.
I'm not sure if it looks like a raisin.
Yeah, I mean, boogers, I mean, it could be a small
raisin.
How
big are your boogers, man?
I'm saying it could be a small raisin. They don't have to all be, you know, real large grapes here, but a booger is like a raisin.
Okay.
Now, snot.
Liquidy.
All liquidy.
Drippy.
Drippy.
Yeah.
Can't
but mucus.
That.
Help me out.
Thick.
Wait, mucus and snot are not the same thing?
That is.
I've used that as pretty unanimous.
You've been misspeaking your entire life.
What
yeah.
if you blow into a Kleenex and boogers and snot come out together? Isn't that mucus?
Nope.
Wait, what's mucus? It has to be thicker?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be thick.
I think this is a bunch of hogwash.
We're just telling you the facts.
So yeah. So there's a point when mucus could become snot if it thinned out?
Absolutely. Yes. And usually what happens is some of the mucus will turn into snot and leave yep. you. The rest will stay behind as mucus.
And what do you have going through your system right now? Just mucus?
Yeah. Yep. Because I can't see you. I can't tell you for sure. It's a real Schrodinger's cat. It could it's snot and mucus.
I could have boogers
time.
In there too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Is there a kind of like a socially acceptable way to get rid of a booger? Because nobody wants a booger, right? There's no one out there seeking out the booger nose.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man, I got one in there. Now what?
There is a socially acceptable way, and it's to do it when no one can see you. that is the only socially acceptable way. And when you do that, you can dispose of it in any number of ways. You could drop it on the floor. You can
flick it, wipe it on the seat underneath. You ever done the bottom of the seat?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not too proud to say I've done the bottom of a seat before, yes.
How many flicks until you give up?
And then go to wipe
rub.
Yeah.
And this is not a booger after all.
It's usually four, but sometimes I get determined. Sometimes
you won't be defeated.
It really is one of these.
You can roll a booger,
and
though.
Then you do the thing
gets rid of
the
moisture.
You do the thing where
somehow.
Let's say it's on your finger, and you take your other hand to flick it.
Wait, you've done that?
And then
And
then you flick it hard, and it's on the other finger. It sticks to the other finger. You're like, what material is this, and how can we manufacture?
That's
this
a
is
science.
Some great material that my body is producing. And those things are probably still on us somewhere. They have latched on.
You've never gotten rid of that.
My
one.
Back is covered in little tiny boogers.
Of all the childish conversations that we have,
somehow
this one felt like the absolute worst.
I agree. We talk about poop all the time, but you get into boogers. I mean, what boogers, man?
Am I a toddler?
You don't grow out of boogers, and yet you pretend you do. Mm-hmm. As kids, they're not afraid to admit I got a booger.
Yeah. Jump.
See, here's the thing. You know, there's a phrase that you can fart in front of those that you love.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a phrase?
Yeah, that's a phrase. You never heard of that?
Yeah, I mean, I've never heard of the phrase, but the reality exists.
No. There's a phrase.
Yeah.
Fellas back there, the producers, have you ever heard that phrase?
I have not.
Well, okay.
Not as a phrase, but I agree with the statement.
He's Googling.
Yeah, I am. Because I'm...
Is this a phrase? What do you think? Is Shakespeare?
I don't know.
Where's this coming from?
Well, anyways, it should be a phrase.
As and Socrates now I get to, once said.
No, this gets to be my quote now.
You okay?
My quote. Put it out everywhere on the internet. First result, you could fart in front of those you love. Jason Moore. But my point is, like, that, you know... It's kind of like a rite of passage. You're around your buddy, and you could fart.
Which happens first, the booger pick or the fart?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, we were getting this studio long ago. This was an empty room. We had our camera set up. I'm doing roundhouse fart kicks in front of my two close friends.
They're pretty impressive.
I don't want to pick my nose in front of you.
Right.
That also,
feels
that's even
so much worse.
Is that like only if a marriage gets to like 25 years, you can start booger picking?
Oh.
You hit like the golden anniversary, then there's the booger anniversary.
And then once you get to like 60, 70, you have to pick each other's noses.
Yeah.
Oh, but you, no, that's against.
I don't think.
That's that
against
phrase
the law.
I know.
Yeah.
You can pick your friends.
But you can't pick your friends' nose.
You can
nose.
Pick your friends and you can pick your nose.
Yes.
But you can't pick your friends'
exactly.
nose.
Exactly. That
that's
one,
a phrase.
Jason Moore.
What is the difference?
Just going to claim everything you like?
Yeah.
All right.
Between being stunned, surprised, and shocked. Stunned, surprised, and shocked.
Okay.
Stun.
If you're stunned, you can't move.
Right. And oftentimes it is with a stun gun.
I mean, sure.
I've seen
that
people,
is one of them.
I've seen people get stunned. And what's the first thing you notice? They can't move.
Yes. Now, they are usually you're surprised by the stun gun.
Right. But because you're immobilized,
it's just officially a stun on the record.
Because I don't think people get surprised and certainly not shocked. Shocked has to have movement.
All three of those are a stun gun.
Yeah, a stun gun also shocks.
So maybe we take the stun gun out for a minute.
Well,
since all three of them are the same for a stun gun.
But we wouldn't call it a surprise gun. Surprise! You're on the ground.
We should, though.
Yeah. It's probably move more units.
Like, this one's tough. I mean,
I'd buy a surprise gun. That'd be
surprise!
Surprised! Boom! You got zapped.
Stunned and shocked. So stunned and shocked. I'm trying to put myself into, like, I'm seeing cartoon reactions.
Right.
To these.
Mm-hmm.
And with stunned, you are not moving, and you're on your back of your heels. I feel like you've gone back to...
Okay, are your toes up?
Your toes are up, and you're okay. And your arms are straight.
But somehow you're not falling over.
And I'm stunned.
Okay.
But then...
Your hands go up when you're shocked. You know what I mean?
Okay.
When you're shocked, whether
like
it's...
Like this? It can like be on like, your head?
It can be like jazz hands. It can be on your head. It can be... But your hands can't stay down.
I feel like
when
hands go up on a surprise, though, too.
That stunned me. That shocked me. What is the difference?
Shock. I think a stun is. We got that one. You're not moving. You got a bit of a paralysis. Shocked though, there's a little bit of
are you
pain?
Oh really?
Yeah.
I've been shocked. You shocked me.
Yes.
Yeah. I can see that. I certainly every time I touch metal and get shocked, I'm in a little bit of pain.
But it can just be emotionally.
Surprised is in its own category.
Well, right? Surprise has really grown over the last 200 years because of mostly the
parties.
Know, the parties, yes. The surprise parties have really turned a surprise into a good thing. Like, oh,
that surprises me that you would say that.
See, that's the original usage.
Oh, really?
From about 200 years ago.
And then it just turned into parties only.
And then it just turned into, well, not
do you
just
like
parties,
a good
but
surprise party?
Gifts.
Can you appreciate it? I've been surprise partied once in my life. And, I mean, it's like other people opting you into you spending your time at something when you don't know.
Yeah, I hate that. I mean, that sounds awful.
But they're doing something nice for you.
It's so kind. So kind of them.
Can you opt out of your own surprise party at the surprise?
Like, well, you certainly
thank
can.
You, goodbye,
you certainly
enjoy yourself?
Can, but there's going to come with ramifications there.
You act stunned, okay. And then you fall over. And then
medical condition.
Yeah, and then yeah. Then you get ambulanced out of there.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's worth it.
So it's an expensive way out of your own surprise party.
Have you had a surprise party thrown for you?
I have. I've had one.
Did you enjoy it? Were you happy that...
And were you really surprised? Or did you know it was coming?
I had no idea it was coming. I almost blew up the surprise party because it involved a trip down to Tucson to see my college friends. And then I was greeted by... it got time to go... I can't remember what was a bunch of life stuff was happening. I was like, do we even really want to do this anymore? And which I'm sure my wife was.
Oh, so you almost didn't go on the trip.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So and
she had to kind of like
persuade
you.
Yes.
And yeah, like, of course you do.
Like, okay. All right. Let's go. And then, it worked out because I was going down to see my friends anyways. But then there was just happened to be a surprise party for me. So it worked out.
Okay.
I got to. Because
you were obligated already.
I already knew I was going to see the people I wanted to see. And then we celebrated me.
That's the way to do
that
a surprise party.
So like, you're going to the restaurant. So you're going to eat anyway. So
right.
Might as well have your friends there with you.
Yeah. No, that's the.
Not like I'm going home at the end of the night.
Right. I'm so excited to relax. And then you open the door.
What a surprise party to do to somebody. Like, how we got to buy time. I'm going to take this purse. Well, we're going to hit the gym. Yeah. We're going to do all this stuff. We're going to be out till 11 p.m., and then we'll do the surprise party.
Man. Do you guys want to do one more real quick? What's the difference between being ripped, buff, and yoked? Ripped, buff, and yoked. Yoked is steroids, right?
100%. That's the...
I mean, you're yoked out. You're too big. Yoked is too big.
Yoked is unnatural.
Unnatural.
And therefore, it is roids.
I imagine we have pulled that phrase, like, as in... This is like yoked, like... An ox, right?
Yeah, not like the egg.
Right.
Right, yeah, because there's no L in this yolked, but yoke. So we're saying that someone is so big, they look
they
like...
They could
pull a wagon like an ox.
They could pull a wagon
exactly
like an ox.
Right.
Okay, so we're on to it. You have to be gigantic.
You have to be gigantic, and usually it's unnatural.
It's unnatural.
The only way to get yoked by not using steroids is sometimes you could fool people. Your body is not really big enough to be yoked, but your attitude is so bro
that
people just go, oh, yeah, he's yoked.
Okay.
Because yeah. I assume he does steroids.
Yoked is the part where other people, other than that person, say, why would you even want to look like that?
Right.
It's so big that you're like, oh, gosh, that's even too big.
You want to know what I want to be? I want to be ripped.
Yes.
Ripped means is, definition of the muscles.
Yeah, ripped is
me.
Way better than buff.
Ripped is lean.
Yeah.
Ripped
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah.
Ripped is.
The muscles are ripping out of your body.
Yeah.
I feel like you could. Yeah, it's clearly defined lines everywhere yeah. where the muscles are drawn onto you.
And very vascular.
You're gonna, whereas buff is like in a shirt.
Buff is.
Oh, that guy's kind of buff.
You just no, buff is just you're strong.
Yeah, buff is.
Really?
Yeah. You're a little bit thicker.
I think the biceps come into play with buff.
For sure. For sure.
You can't be strong everywhere else and not have big biceps and be buff.
Okay. So like guys in World's Strongest Man competition, because those dudes are not ripped.
No, they're not ripped.
But they are. They're
buff.
They're
or yoked.
Well, right. Depending on
depending on the contest.
Yeah.
But so but I'm just saying. So those guys can be.
That's true.
Just buff.
Yeah.
They
yeah,
can,
they're buff.
They can be just buff. I really think the difference between being buff and being ripped is a body fat percentage.
Yes.
That's what it comes down to. Because both are very muscular, in shape, strong people. But if you've got enough fat content where you don't look like you have a swimmer's body, then you're buff. If you are a lean, low body fat percentage.
Like dad bod can be buff.
Yeah, dad bod is totally buff.
All right.
Dad bod's not going to be ripped.
No, goodness no. Maybe when he was younger.
Yeah. Because you could be buff without a six-pack.
Right.
But,
you know what I mean?
But every buff person does have the right to say, I could be ripped if I wanted to.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just a little bit more diet. Yeah.
Especially while you're taking the cheeseburger bite. Like, if I really wanted
yes.
to.
Yes. Yes, I've noticed so much.
You have the problem.
So much soothing in my own life goes around what I could do if I put my mind to it.
I think we know.
The potential
we know
is
we're mentally,
there.
We're mentally strong enough if we choose to
I
do it.
I could make the NBA.
I could lose weight.
Okay, well, let's hold on. What just happened?
You can't make yourself taller.
Or younger.
If I could be one of these three in real life, it would have to be yoked.
Oh, really?
But we've clarified you can get there.
Well, I could if I wanted to, but I don't want to.
Oh,
so
okay.
You know what I want?
Just saying,
steroids.
Well, I'm sure Owl knows a guy.
That's true.
I got you.
Yeah, yeah, and let's move into this kid-centered draft.
The Spitballers Draft.
All right, today's episode features a draft of the best excuses you can use to not do your chores. So we were kids at one point in time, back when we were ripped, and we have kids. So we've been around the block. We've heard them all.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some strategies that youngsters can take to get out of their chores.
Just youngsters. I mean, don't you have chores? Don't I have chores?
Sure.
I'm going to try to get out of my chores.
Some excuses apply to youngsters better, but there are excuses for all sorts of chores.
That's fair. So, Mike.
You are up. First pick.
Okay, so the best excuse not to do my chore is, because I was trying to think of this, like, from the parent's perspective, it can be difficult to argue with some of these things.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And if they say, I've got to help my sibling do something.
Oh, helping the sibling.
And I'm altruism.
Like, yeah, I'm like, oh, man. They're going to work together to get something done.
And I want that.
And I really want that. It means they're not fighting. Okay. All right. We can hold off on the chore.
Helping the sibling.
Yeah. That's a good way out.
Okay. That's a good excuse. Jason?
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Man. So I'm going to go with the most common. Since we're at the top of the draft, I'm just going to go with, like, you know, the meat and potatoes here.
I didn't know there was.
Oh, there's a meat and potatoes. It's being sick.
Dang it.
You're sick.
Dang it.
I
have feeling sick / I got a headache.
Yeah.
I got a headache line.
Whatever.
How do you
it
argue
is,
with that?
Whatever is your ailment. You have some kind of ailment. You know, I'm sick. I can't do it. I'm going to throw up. I don't feel good. Blah, blah. Nonsense.
All right. That's a good one. It was my next pick for sure, which means I'm going to have to go with one. It's a little similar to Mike's, only in that the parent would have a harder time arguing with it.
Ooh, an even harder time.
I'm going to go with, I was just sitting down to read.
That's a good one.
Oh,
that's a good one.
Oh, mom and dad, I was just sitting down to read. I mean, goodness, if I could get my kids to read more and be off the computers and stuff. They only read when the chores, when it's chores time. I was just going to read.
I've found that apparently the best time for reading is, in fact, 30 minutes after you were supposed to go to sleep.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's the only time you're...
I need to read.
It's only good if it can keep you from having to sleep.
Or do chores.
Or do chores. Which, my next one is kind of a follow-up. It's in the same vein. And, look, I have been victim to it, and I don't know how to argue this. I don't know how to win this one. Because, for goodness sakes, I can't get them to do this. But, hey, son, why don't you help me with the dishes? Sorry, Dad. I've got homework.
Yeah.
I need to study, right? Like, well, shoot. What am I going to do? I'm going to stop you from doing your homework so you can come help me?
Yeah.
So the homework excuse.
That's a tough one.
That's really tough.
I feel pretty good getting the back-to-backs here on this one.
Okay. I'm going to go with one that I couldn't argue with it. And maybe some parents out there, you're a monster. and maybe not, but I'm going to go with... It's my birthday.
Oh.
Yeah. Making me do chores on my birthday? It only
works.
It's
a good excuse once
a year.
That's good.
But that was.
It is. But also, wait, you're assigning the Moore household, which has the now legendary birthday week.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're telling me that you two assign chores to your children on their birthday?
No, I would never.
But okay.
That's the monsters that do that. Other people do that. I'm telling you that is a foolproof way out. And maybe you could try it in a couple other days of the year. Put a little shock in your parents. Be like, oh, Mom, it's my birthday. What?
Yeah.
That's a good one. That reminds me of Clifford. But I remember that
the
movie.
Big red dog?
No, the
oh the with Martin Short?
Yeah, it's like Clifford, your birthday was 6 months ago.
I haven't thought of that movie in 30 years.
Yeah, it's
Grandpa.
Yeah, it's a little
that
dated.
Came out when we were young.
Yeah. All right, Mike, you have two picks now.
All right,
excuses for not doing your chores.
I know the first one because it, no matter how many times this excuse is given, they keep. Trying it. I already did it.
No!
Yeah.
That was on my list.
Yeah.
I already did them.
Yeah.
That buys you some time for sure.
Yeah. Hey, go clean up your room. I already did.
Yeah, and then you go check it.
And you're like, and then you have a decision as a parent. You could go all the way up the stairs over the dog gate and confirm or just take their word for it. And you're like, oh, man.
You need chore checking cameras or something. Yeah, that's a good one. Because what can happen there is they can get away with that and then do them in a little bit.
Yes.
And then you might as well have done them in the beginning.
Yeah, it's
good.
Dang
it. That was one of my go-tos.
That's definitely was a top on my list.
All right. And then this one is legit there's no one to blame but me for wanting the convenience of this particular one product. When they say the vacuum battery is dead.
Really?
The battery is dead. And you're like, yo!
You literally can't.
So you don't have the supplies.
Yeah. So you're like...
out of...
Back in the day when it was always plugged in, you couldn't go with that one.
Yeah.
But now the battery can actually be dead and you go...
And they're leaving it off that charger on purpose, aren't they?
Yeah. And why does a vacuum battery take 48 hours to charge? Let's get the scientists on this.
Yeah. All right. That's a good one. That's a good one.
All right. So we've been kind of given excuses, but really, you know,
due to the draft title.
What is the draft title?
Excuses.
Best excuses to not do your chores.
I thought it was most creative ways to get out of doing chores.
Why would it be that?
Because I thought that was the original
thing. It's on the sign right behind you.
We say all of it with words and stuff at the beginning of the segment.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a real good listener. Okay.
Remember when we were trapped in a mall?
Yeah, that was a room, Mike. Nice try. All right, so if we're only sticking to excuses here, well then...
Per the rule.
This is not just for kids. This
you're spilling on yourself.
Oh, Andy took a drink and he...
I'm not a good drinker.
No, you spill on yourself.
You do have a drinking
problem. Food and drink more than anyone I know.
I'm impatient.
You think that's what it is?
I do.
I don't have time to get this can fully to my lips.
Yeah. Yeah, because the consequence is not much.
Do you now?
Who cares, man?
Genuine question.
Yeah.
Do you spill on the way to your mouth, or do you spill on the way, like?
You know, if I knew, I'd fix it. I don't know what's going on, man. I think my mouth might be malformed, and it's a handicap.
It's a mouth problem.
Yeah. I think I might have like a little dead lip or something.
Loose lip.
Loose.
Google it. Or probably don't. I don't know.
All right. This one is for...
Yeah, stick with the excuses.
This is for our age group. Throughout my back.
Oh.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Children threw out their back?
You know, no, he said it would be for our age group getting out of a chore. And that one actually... You know, it holds weight.
Yeah,
it's hard to argue with.
You can't.
Ooh, I can't lift right now.
You can't lift anything. You can't do chores. Like, if you've got a headache, you know, the headache excuse. I don't care. Do your chores.
Right.
I want to throw in a little spasm.
Yeah, but if you throw your back out, you can't move. And I can't prove whether or not you threw your back out.
Yeah, it's kind of you're at least safe for a few times.
I got to, like, throw a sock for him to catch. Catch him off guard. Be like, catch us. Oh, you can't move.
All right.
Then you just, if they were actually hurt, then you just hit him in the face or something.
Just like, oh, my bad. I forgot your back was thrown out.
All right. I'm going to throw this one out there for my third pick because I've experienced this not working somehow for a friend of mine growing up, which is my friend is over.
Oh, that
is over.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that happens all the time.
Because when I was growing up, I had a friend, and it did not matter that I was over at his house playing. Yard work was getting done, even though the friend was over. And guess who got to help? The friend.
Wait.
I had to help with some yard work.
That's genius. Yeah. That's genius of your friend.
Invite your friends over.
Yeah, like delaying the chores, knowing that you're going to... I mean, this is a Tom Sawyer
also
situation.
Genius of the parents. Well, yeah. Maybe he can help out. Let's get a little bit more yard work done, huh?
And then I will close it out with, the unfortunately, the most common excuse / lie.
I hope this isn't mine.
I'll do it later.
Yep.
I'll do it. Hold on, let me rephrase. I promise I'll do it later.
Not right now.
I promise I'll do it later.
Why do something now that you can do later?
Exactly. Or potentially never at all.
Yeah.
Yep. So that is my final pick.
All right. My last pick is the easy 101 most real life common excuse that I get from my children. I mean, this happens so much that we preempt it now.
Can I guess?
You can guess. Let's say they're playing video games or whatever. They're doing something, and now it's like, hey, it's time for chores. We're going to do chores.
I'm in the middle of a game.
Oh, I mean, that happens all the time. Okay. I don't care.
I don't care
making them get off.
All right.
I'm hungry. It's always
really?
Like, always. It's like as soon as it's chores time.
That's a good one.
As soon
as it's never heard that
chores
one.
Time.
That definitely happens in my house too.
Wow.
It's like, oh, you were hungry, you were on your video game. You could have played another 3 hours. You would have been hungry. But the second you have to do chores, you're starving.
It's not just chores. It's anything you are averse to doing.
Yeah, homework. Oh, now you're
you
starving.
Get the, I'm hungry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you're denying food if you make them do the
right.
chores.
Yes.
Interesting. No,
there's a whole speech that
so
we
now
receive.
Now you've got to preempt that. That's what we do. We say...
Oh, you feed them and then say, do the chores?
No. I don't feed them first. I just straight up tell them. Before I tell them, I'm like, hey, it's time to get off. You got to do your chores. It's basically, it's time to get off. You got to do your chores. And I don't want to hear that you're hungry now all of a sudden.
You can eat when you're done.
Yeah. You're not going to starve to death.
I bet you'll do the chores pretty quick.
Just eating 30 minutes. They're not hungry. Andy, it's a lie.
It's a lie. That's fair.
Not hungry. When they're hungry, they go eat.
I thought you were going to go with the video game one, which is now that they play all these online games.
Yeah, I can't pause.
I have to pull you out of a game with your friends and ruin your life.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, final pick.
All right, so
the match is almost over.
Oh, lies.
30 minutes later.
He
started another one.
And this one, of course, you need siblings, but I'm just going off of my household. The good old-fashioned, it's not my turn.
Yes, I have that on my list.
It is, in fact, my brother's turn to do the dishwasher.
It's a good one.
If you were keeping track, you would clearly know that it is not me who has to do the dishes today.
And you might not have been keeping track.
No one's keeping track.
You got to start thinking in your head, which was the fairway? Okay.
I'm not building out a chore system where I can like move the star or the dot, whatever. No.
No.
I want them to do their chores, but maybe I should build the system.
I had it. I had that too. It's not my turn. It's not my turn. All right. There's our draft. That covered most of what was on my list. I did have bribe written down where it's like, I'll do this instead.
Mm.
Oh. You know, try to make a negotiation.
My youngest hit one of his favorite lines is, let me make you a deal.
Really?
Oh, man.
You do that for me and I'll do this?
I get offered 25 deals a day.
Nice. That's funny.
They're usually in relation of him doing something very small and then me spending a ton of money.
I already did other chores. You know what I mean?
Too much.
It's like, I already took out the garbage. You're
going
to make me do the dishes?
Yeah.
And then the other things I was going to do for creative ways to get out of doing chores is get in the shower.
Oh, okay.
And never go home. That was just, you don't do chores anywhere but home, right? I mean, like if you take out the
unless
garbage.
That friend brings you over to do the chores.
Sure. But I'm saying like if you take out the garbage here.
As work.
As work.
Yeah.
You can only do chores at a residence.
I need to ask you about one more that I had on my list and whether you've used it.
Okay.
To get out of chores.
Probably.
It's the I have to poop.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just.
Have you hidden? Have you done a hide? A poop hide.
I'm a man. Okay. There is no man with children in this country that is not hidden in the bathroom, taking too long to poop. And if you
I'm real constipated.
You show me one that says that they have it, I will show you a liar.
Yeah, we do have the ability to summon our bowels.
When needed. When needed. All right, any more, Mike?
I had just add a product, but it's kind of like the vacuum. Mm-hmm. And then for me, it was too similar to the sit down and read. At least it was of like, I got to go. I'm going to practice my instrument.
Oh, mm-hmm. Nice. Mm-hmm. That's a good reason to take up an instrument.
Yes, because you're like, and then as the parent who's paying way too much for private lessons,
yeah.
And you're like, fine, go practice your instrument.
And nobody did the classic too tired, did they?
No, because that's
they're kids.
It doesn't work.
Yeah,
it only works for grown-ups.
Yeah,
it only works at bedtime. Like, you know, I will say that.
You mean they're reading time?
Yes.
My youngest will, whenever it's like not quite his bedtime, if it's like an hour before, he'll be like, if there's chore time then, he'll be like, just tuck me in.
That's funny.
Like, it's 4:30. Let's go.
Time for bed.
What did we learn today?
I learned that the first result from Google is ironclad, always right. Never look past it. It is just pure information. Locked and loaded, correct answer, always.
I learned today that our kids have similar excuses to one another.
Yeah, it's they have a hive mind. And I learned when you land in a hot air balloon, you're probably going to tipsy over there.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, yeah. Only about 50% of people make it on the average hot air balloon trip, according to Brooks. The other 50%, I'm sorry. Final flight.
Enjoyed it.
Goodbye.
Tell your friends. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Spitballers podcast. To see what other nonsense the guys are up to, check out spitballerspod.com.